Olympics Minister Tessa Jowell. This is your chance to put your questions to the Minister on LBC, London's biggest conversation.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Weekday mornings from 7. LBC 97.3.
I'm Jenny Barnett. It's 18 minutes past 1. And we're talking about lying and violence on the back of lying. Chris Brown was 19 when he hit his girlfriend Rihanna and he pleaded guilty. 19, a multi-million seller rock star, R&B star, and he is a role model. So the question that I'm going to ask David Wolfson, who is anger management and conflict management specialist from angerplanet.co.uk. Thank you, David, very much for... I called you Donald. That he was a famous politician, wasn't he? But David, thank you for joining me.
Hi, Jenny.
19, he is a role model. Where has he learnt it from?
That's a very good question. Where has he learnt to be violent or where has he learnt to lie? They're very different questions.
Well, I want to know... Well, I'm really majoring on lying and how lying can lead to violence. So let's go that way around.
Well, yeah, I think lying can lead to violence is a tricky equation to make, Jenny, to be honest. Because lying is really a continuum. And what may be a lie to me may not be a lie to you. Because quite often we come into conflict about things that are opinions and we mistake them for facts. And so a lie is not always an absolute.
Right.
And that leads to an incredible amount of conflict.
How so?
Well, for example, I might say to you, as a matter of fact, this is a terrible government. And you might take a completely different view, but in your view, it's a fact. And in my view, it's a fact. And so we come into a clash. We may come into a clash in the relationship about the rules of the relationship. What things is it okay to say, and what things is it okay not to say? I may have a woman friend, and I may take her out for lunch, and I may not tell you because that's okay. And yet, when you find out I've been out for lunch with that woman friend, you say you lied to me, you didn't tell me. So lying can be very, very subjective, and that's in no way excusing this guy's behaviour. But it's just important to understand that there is a continuum, and that objective facts are actually fairly few and far between.
Well, when you are in a relationship, so let's get to the nitty-gritty of this. Rianne goes to his telephone.
Yeah.
She finds that there's a message from another woman. Clearly, she's not trusting him in the first place.
Sure.
And he then turns on her because she accuses him of something that he doesn't own. Now, does that come together? Does that work together, violence and that kind of lying? Why does he lie?
Why people lie has many, 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 many explanations. And the first, let's start off from one point. The violence is inexcusable, no matter what. But what we're trying to do here is to understand what leads up to it and what motivates it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I tell you a lie, why do I tell you a lie? Often I'll tell you a lie through fear, because the alternative is to own up to something that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm having lunch with another woman, you're going to be cross. So it's easier not to tell you. So lying may often be driven by fear. It may often be driven by shame. I did something you're going to disapprove of, so I won't tell you. So there's always a backstory to the lie. And lying, of course, particularly amongst kids, can often be about trying to get control. How do I get control? I don't tell the truth. I don't tell the truth about you. I don't tell the truth about me. And so it's a primitive method of trying to get some kind of control about my environment. So it has many, many, you know, many, many multifaceted and different motivations to it, I think.
Now, I think that's very interesting when you say it's a primitive method to take control. And in this case, I'm talking about a male who lies.
Sure.
In that situation, when a man lies and continues to lie, and then we would say, to our girlfriends, for goodness sake, the man's a congenital liar. Does that mean that he is emotionally immature?
I don't deal in the currency of words like immature and mature.
Right.
I'm not sure that they're useful.
Right.
But what I'd say is it certainly tells me something about how he is in relationship to himself or not. and then how he projects that relationship with himself onto other people. Because we all can have a relationship with ourselves, an internal relationship, and that relationship can too be based on lies and dishonesty. I can sit here and tell myself all sorts of things about myself that may be true or maybe not true, and those are going to create a whole welter, a whole hot pot of emotions. You know, I can sit here and say to myself, I'm good at this, I'm not good at this, so one doesn't like me. I can make up a whole load of stuff and fail completely to distinguish what's true from what's not true, and there may not even be a truth. I can often mistake all my opinions, which create all these feelings, just for facts.
So if within the context of a relationship, if yeah. one partner realises the other one is lying and is caught up in that game, as it were,
yeah.
what do they do? How do they deal with that? Is there a method where you don't end up getting an angry retort from the liar?
Well, you're asking me a question that many, many of my clients ask me very, very often. What do I do in this relationship where we don't communicate?
Right.
Because if someone's lying regularly, then they're not communicating. They're holding off from communicating emotionally. And, you know, the obvious answer, well, I'm going to sit down and try and talk to this person. That's not always going to work.
Mm.
And, you know, I think for a woman, well, I'd say very strongly, for a woman who's in a situation where a man's lying and she's getting hit, the first thing I always say when someone rings me up and tells me a story like that is, how are you going to keep yourself safe?
Right.
That's absolutely my first question. And often lying means that there are not boundaries in a relationship as well. There's no clarity between the two people. They're not in communication. And so if I'm hitting someone, I'm violating their physical boundaries, their personal boundaries, and their psychological boundaries as well. And so I'll come back to the woman and say, how are you going to make yourself safe in this relationship? And in the end, it may be by saying, I'm going to leave, or maybe by saying to the man, if I stay with you, these are the conditions, and therefore setting up some safety and some boundaries.
So it's surprising. I mean, it's always surprising when a woman does return to somebody who is not telling the truth. Is there a pattern? Is there a kind of person that does that?
People get caught up in relationships. They get caught up in behaviour patterns within relationships. And quite often the work that I have to do with my clients is where they've behaved in a certain way, the relationship's broken up, and we realise that the work is to make changes. Otherwise, they're probably going to go into another relationship and do the same again.
Yeah.
And we do. We become addicted to patterns. I mean, we talked about anger in our last discussion. And anger is an addictive behaviour. It's an addictive feeling. And just getting to the point where I can own up and say, well, actually, I quite like being angry. It feels quite good. I like it when my body starts to pump up and I shout and scream. It's getting to that point where I can own up to how I create my life situation before I can really do something about it. And that's the work we do.
You're a specialist from Anger Planet. Now, what I find interesting about that, I mean, not that I'm giving, it's not about plugging your site, but that
sure.
that there is a need for you. Are there more and more people now who are angry and who are lying?
Well, there's plenty of people there who are angry, but they've always been angry people, because anger is a normal human emotion. But what's happening is that I think people are becoming more conscious of their anger, and I think it's something to do with the political and economic times that we live in, and people are noticing their anger, and they're certainly noticing the explosive manifestations of it, and they're starting to look for solutions. And I mean, every day we get a huge amount of email, people asking us, what can I do about my anger? How can you help?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much, David Wilson. What do you do about your anger?